What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 8 of the Slow Show. The show where we talk slowly and deliberately. Show where there is a purpose, but the purpose for you to is for you to discover on your own. And the show where we like to talk about science fiction and the fantastic world of the Chronoverse. Today, I want to talk a little bit about Russia. I've always had a very special relationship with Russia. Part of it was because of Russian literature, and part of it is because had gone on this beautiful cruise down the Volga when I was maybe 10 or 11 years old. And upon the cruise, there was a balalaika musician, a balalaika player, and every day we would have dinner on the cruise and listen to the sounds of traditional Russian music, and I fell in love with it. The vibrations of that beautiful land and culture, it was something that I carried throughout my life, and I had wanted to learn some Russian at some point, but unfortunately I wasn't. It's a pretty hard language, very different, very strange, very different alphabet and pronunciation. Why are we talking about Russia today? It's because Russia is deeply involved in the parallel history, the parallel world history, the alternate history, even though it's a future history, because the history of the Chronoverse coincides with our own, only diverging from our own in around the year, well, the year 2020, the current year, which is almost over, by the way. What are you doing for Christmas and New Year's? So the reason why Russia is very important piece of the story is because Russia, in this alternate future, is destroyed. And about 80% of its around 150 million people perished. And the rest, about 15, 20 million people a little bit more, maybe 30 million, about 20 to 30 million people fled. They formed the Zhartsitsa government. Zhartsitsa is the Russian word that literally means firebird. The phoenix. The phoenix that, legend has it, rises from the ashes. The Zhartsitsa government vowed revenge against the first technocracy, which had destroyed their homeland, their motherland. Russians, they call their country motherland. And there is a sense of pride, I think, that Russians have for their culture and their history and their very unique place in world history, in this giant nation, such a big country, spans across two continents, Europe and Asia, and historically the heartland of the communist movement, the revolutions in the early 1900s, which would eventually sweep across the world and they fought against the Nazis. So many Russians died in that war, but still nothing compared to how many people dies in the parallel history of the Chronoverse. But it is the strife, the calumny of this event, which really propelled them once again to the forefront of history. Great technological innovations were accomplished by Russian scientists who had vowed to dedicate their lives to rebuilding their broken nation. The exodus was all across the world. Many of them landed in the Bay Area and would be featured in the RPG game, which I think beginning today I will start to talk about more as we ramp up towards our launch and scheduled for January 3rd. was a lot of work to be done. And not so much time, I can tell you that. Chronoverse RPG is the name of the game, and if you would be interested, just look for Chronoverse RPG on Kickstarter. Come around January, and you'll see us. Tagline is "Step into the future." Step into the future. Step into the future. Wouldn't you like to take a sneak peek of how the world looks after the post automation world is born? When it's become clear that machines can potentially replace everything we do, and interact with the diverse cultures, the cultures, the people, the new cultures, the new lifestyles that have come to define a new age of technology like never before. And from that vantage point, wouldn't you like to be able to look back? You'll be offered an opportunity to look back into the present, to the year of 2020, and perhaps you will see the year 2020 as really not so bad. Believe it or not. And you can sort of reminisce of the good old days before the bioclysm, which ravaged the world even more after the destruction of Russia. Step into the future, my friends. What an RPG game offers is the opportunity to immerse yourself, to play as a character, to inhabit that character, and to experience the world in which your character resides in, which could be very different from your own. In this case, it's based on, extrapolated from the present moment, but emerges as something quite alien, and perhaps offers many surprises. The idea of fantastic technologies empowering the warriors of the future. Warriors who fight for their belief system, because I do believe that conflict is ever present, and a big conflict is coming up in the horizon. And to put it simply, it's not even necessarily between people and people, even though ultimately conflicts will manifest themselves in such a way. The people must fight it out somehow. But the ultimate conflict comes from this inevitable conflict between humanity and our technology. It's between order and chaos. What is humanity? I mean, and what is it that defines the human experience? Is it order, or is it chaos, or is it both? That is a paradox. For each and every individual desires security, but the opposite of that is the essence of adventure and growth. And each human being must take risks and venture out into the unknown if they are to grow as individuals. At the same time, it is human nature that we always look for safe harbors. We look for utopias. We are all in search of some kind of paradise. Some through religion. But I think in modern times, the communists, for example, seeked paradise through socialism, communism, in an attempt to create a new social order. Lenin, Stalin, there are many Russian novels that changed my life, I would say. In my youth, I read quite a few Russian novels, classics. One of them, one of the first Russian books that I read was Lermontov's Hero of Our Time. Great book. He kind of a very it's a very poetic piece. And with a splash of realism, told through different perspectives from an old friend, and then through the man's own journals. What was his name? Petrov. Forget. Petrov. Petrov. Petrokin, Petrolin, Petrovin. Quite a character. An anti-hero. A man who is feels lost. He's very cynical, but at his heart, a romantic. And perhaps a hero. I had never read anything like it, and I don't think I've read anything like it since. And a lot of these books were introduced to me through my mother, who read the Chinese translations of many of these books during the Chinese Cultural Revolution. And if you are unfamiliar with what the Cultural Revolution was about, it was a very terrifying time when ideology had become a tool for that drove the entire society into a kind of mob insanity. It was a crazy time where little kids in school, they beat their ganged up and beat their teachers to death. Can you imagine? The Red Guard, they went across the country and they shouted slogans and they beat down on the bourgeois and the anti-revolutionary elements that they perceived to exist all across society. Kids, you know? But so many books were banned, even many of these Russian novels. And then my mom would tell us that she would finish an entire book. She would stay up all night, and you know, friends would borrow books to each other, and then they'll have one or two nights to finish them, and that's what they would do. And it would just, because it's kind of like a forbidden fruit thing, that when something is scarce, it becomes valuable, so precious to be able to get your hands on one of these books, to go upon an adventure into a different world. We don't have that problem today. Today, I think the problem is overstimulation. There's too many worlds for us to jump into. Too many choices. Too many options. And there are pros and cons of that. But, my mom was she led me into many Russian novels, and I read some books that she never read. For example, I fell in love with Dostoevsky. I read Tolstoy, War and Peace, Anton Chekhov's short stories. Beautiful, beautiful. Influenced me greatly. I have a deep appreciation for Anton Chekhov and also Dostoevsky, the idiot, the gambler, the Karamazov brothers, the Crime and Punishment. Actually, I never finished Crime and Punishment. It's, of his works, this particular one, I think is... I didn't really connect with the main character, I suppose. There's also a book called... The character is a little bit similar to the protagonist from Notes from the Underground, which I did finish. But I think of all these books, I like The Idiot and The Gambler the most. Dostoevsky's works. So fast-paced and crazy, with such colorful characters that would push the pace. And Russia, what else does Russia evoke for me? Beautiful women, for sure. The St. Basil's Cathedral, which I was fortunate enough to visit during my time there. And Russia and its land destroyed in the Cronenverse. It's a great tragedy and really kind of sets the tone. There's the bioclism, and then there is the destruction of Russia. But it's very interesting how these two, both catastrophic events, had very different effects on people. The bioclism, as you know, if you have been following our previous episodes, happened towards the end of the 5-year terror, ending in 2028, but the bioclism lives on in the form of the 5 plagues. Engineered to break down the social glue which holds our society and civilization together. Did just that. It broke down society to create a new era of fear and distrust and social segregation. Because each of these viruses, each of these forms of viruses have different pathways of transmission, and each with different properties, causing great human misery. But on top of that misery is this fear. This fear of people. Fear of meeting people, of encountering them in proximity with them. The literal breaking of families. So that is the consequence of the tragedy, of the bioclism. But the destruction of Russia, also a great calamity, brought the world together against a common foe. This happened in around 2026, by the way. Around the third year of the so-called 5-year terror, which lasted between 2023 and 2028. really brought people together, and as you can imagine, it truly created a shared purpose for the Russian people, who formed the Zhartsitsa government, the Firebird, created a new form of government, essentially, gave birth to the SmartGov, which would eventually become adopted by the rest of the world. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, we have to end this episode because our time is up. Tomorrow, I will talk about the SmartGov in further detail. And until then, you have been listening to episode 8 of The Slow Show, where we talk slow, where there is a purpose, but the purpose is for you to decide and to discover on your own. Until next time, good night.